Ryan Landau on Not Boring Business, and he's going to tell us a little about himself. Go ahead, Ryan.
Well, Jeremy, well, you know, thanks for having us. And so, so originally from Detroit, left Detroit because when I graduated college from Michigan State, not too much going on. Came back here, launched a business, an e-commerce business, raised a couple million dollars in venture funding, ended up, you know, selling it. And now onto kind of like number two. And so we'll see what happens.
So what is number two? What is company number two?
Yeah, good question. And so we started about 6 months ago. It's called Repurpose. It is a recruiting platform where we, you know, help the kind of the best technology and startup companies, and then also work with kind of like purpose-driven and tech individuals. And on our platform, anyone in the world can kind of apply to our platform, but we're only accepting kind of the best individuals and the best companies. And then they come onto our platform once they've been accepted, and then they match and meet. And we kind of match people based on, we call them the easy things, which is compensation, location, skill set, all that good stuff. But we're really focused on matching people based on culture fit. And so everyone talks about culture fit, but there's not a recruiting platform out there that does that. And so we just started, have a tremendous amount still to learn, and that's what we're focusing on here.
So you said you're about 6 months into it. Like, how's it going thus far?
Good. It's so we're about 6 months. That's correct. We have about 60 companies on the platform today. We've had a few thousand individuals that have applied to our platform, and things are going well. I mean, look, we're doing this with zero marketing budget, haven't really raised that much money at this moment, and so we are a kind of small and lean shop, and like most entrepreneurs, trying to figure it out.
Absolutely, right? Like, I think that hustle or that climb is what I'm after. Right. It's not necessarily, I think far too often people focus on the number you read in TechCrunch that someone is raising, right? Before they are actually building a business with revenue.
Yeah. It's super important, and obviously, you know, having a business that produces, like, you know, revenue, is important, and it just takes time. I was actually watching an interesting documentary on Denzel Washington last night, and he said it took him about 25 years to become an overnight success. And so I listened to that last night, and you know, everyone hears these just overnight stories, and you see on, you know, social media all these, you know, glamorous things, but it was a good note that he was like, yeah, it took me about 25 years for people to think I was an overnight success.
Yeah, right? Like, Denzel Washington, and like, you think if it took Denzel Washington 25 years, right? Like, how long is it going to take me? So, starting a company in Detroit, I want to talk about a little bit of the contrast between maybe some of the things that you've come in contact with kind of the, you know, California, New York, the markets that you hear more of. What's it like starting up in Detroit? I know there's a big buzz there now. Can you kind of unpack that?
Yeah, I think it's a good question. I think starting a business in Detroit is very, you know, unique and interesting. And we've decided to, you know, launch our business here. And, you know, when you think about like tech recruiting, you know, the natural thought would be, hey, go to San Francisco or New York. But we've decided to, hey, you know, be here in Detroit. That's, you know, where most of our connections in. And, you know, we rather be a part of a, you know, an up and coming city opposed to, you know, something where there's, you know, hundreds of other competitors. And so here we're able, what I would say is to be a big fish and maybe potentially like a smaller pond. There's a lot of great things about being in Detroit, but I would also be the first person to tell you there's a tremendous amount of challenges. And so, it's a double-edged sword, but we're definitely happy that we're here.
So what are some of those challenges, right? Like, yeah. Obviously there's, you can raise money there, right? So like there's funds there that I'm reading about all the time. I mean, I could see that as being a challenge. What are some of those unseen challenges that I might not see out here in LA?
Yeah, so I think raising money, let's talk about that first. So I think raising money is actually pretty challenging here in Detroit. I mean, there's definitely groups that, you know, do it, but I think that it's a little bit more, I'm trying to think of the appropriate word to use in San Francisco, but maybe it's a little bit more frothier in San Francisco, as in like you have an idea, someone will fund that. In Detroit, you not only need to have an idea, but you need to be able to have already executed on the idea, showing some real users, showing some real traction before, you know, you get a, you know, kind of a venture, you know, an investor at it. And I'll play the flip side to that also. it's also really good. So some of the businesses that I've seen here out here, you know, make a lot of money, you know, don't have that option of raising $10 million or $1 million on their seed round. So we need to be a little bit scrappier. I mean, I wish I could tell you, you know, even the business that we're in, that we could spend a lot of time strategizing and talking to customers and figuring it out. But no, literally since day one, we needed to focus on making money. Reason being is we just didn't have any other options. But I think from a long-term perspective, you know, potentially that could help build, you know, a stronger business and stronger businesses in the area.
Like I think for me, like I'm a peer entrepreneur, and I know just a little bit of your background and you starting something at school fairs or something.
Chalkfly.
No. Not before. It was before that. Like when you were a kid, when you were in like high school.
Wow, Jeremy, you really did some, you know, research here. Yes. So when I was with my brother, when I was very young, started a concession catering business where we did cotton candy and snow cones and all those fun things called actually Carnival Extravaganza. This was way back in the day.
Yeah, this is what I want to hear.
Wow, that was some good research by you.
I'm telling you, when I think about sometimes I am a better entrepreneur at 9 years old than some of these people that raise money at 29 and have no real concept of business. Like, I was profiting more. I had higher profit margins at 9, and I'm sure you did too at 12 when you were running this concessions business, than some of these people that raise money focus on just users. You have the ability, like, as a peer entrepreneur, I see I need to make profit to grow myself.
For sure. I mean, well, I'm trying to think about when I was 9. I can't remember too many things, but I definitely remember a few things as in, like, I wanted to do fun things. And so to do fun things, you know, I needed to make money. I don't even think in my head was, you know, venture or, you know, raising money or seed or angel. I mean, I obviously had no idea what that was. So we just started with literally a cotton candy machine. And, you know, I don't even think I knew about what gross margins were back in the day. But all I knew is that, you know, the sugar cost and the cone of the cotton candy cost about like $5, and that was able to produce, you know, about 2,000 different units, and we could charge something that cost us $5. We could charge at a bar and bat mitzvah for our wedding. You know, we could charge $600, and so there was no. I wish I could tell you that was genius. It was just like, all right, this is just what we have to do.
Right, like you're not like, and that's what I go to, because there's a lot of conversations around raising money. It's so. I fucking hate it. Like I go, I have a business that makes money, right? Where I can afford to pay some people. And I go, we'll naturally grow. We'll self-fund until we can't anymore. Until I need to, there's a stage where I need to hyper grow. Yep. Or like I'm outpacing something that I didn't expect. But then at that point, I'm going to go to any investor and say, it's you or the other guy, right? Have you ever been in that position?
Yeah, and so have been in that position a lot, and also have been told definitely more times than I've been told yes. So I, you know, walking into investors or angels, the typical answer is definitely like, oh, sounds like you're doing something interesting. Let me, you know, kind of let's follow up in 6 months from now and see how your progress is. And it's a challenge for entrepreneurs because, including myself, it's like, what the F? Like, I need the money now to be able to show you progress in six
right.
months. And so it's a chicken and the egg thing. And it's tough. But like, one of the things that I'm definitely focusing on now, because I definitely wasn't kind of in the first couple businesses that we were running, is this crazy word called patience, and knowing, I didn't mean to make this like Denzel Washington themed, but like going back to what Denzel said, you know, it took him 25 years to be an overnight success. And so this time around, it could be a good bat strategy or a bad strategy, but we're taking patience and really figuring out how to build a you know, company that could last forever, that has good economics. And then look at, if someone wants to buy it later on, great. But that's not what we're focused on.
Are you at all focused in the back of your mind on the exit, right? Exit size versus how much I need to raise to get there?
Good question. Am I focused on the exit? I think we want to have some event potentially like that later on, but my really core focus right now, and even opposed to raising money right now, we've raised a little bit of money, but my real focus is on creating a product that our customer wants, building a business with like real margins, and having real staying power. So meaning like we're not just a company that like, you know, sounds cool right now and then, you know, is going to go out of style in a couple of years from now. So like everything that like we invest in, we try to invest in things in our business that like will never go out of style. So like from a simplistic manner in what we do, we help match people. And so matching job seekers and employers will never go out of style. No one's ever going to say to us, hey, Ryan, I wish your site was slower. So we pay a little bit extra, you know, money to AWS to make sure that we have a fast site. People probably won't say to us in 10 years from now, hey, I wish you had shittier customer service. And so for us, we're, I would say, is a general theme, and I can go on with that list, is we're trying to invest in things that don't go out of style.
Oh, absolutely. Right. Like, is there in that mindset, I think, do you ever think that raising money too soon is almost the opposite of what your mindset is? Like, we're focused on product. It's about longevity. And people that raise so much money so soon, do you think that their mindset is more quick exit? Like, we want to grow as fast as possible. I believe you kind of fuck shit up. Right? Like when you're doing that, what do you think about that?
Yeah. I mean, I just think it's, you know, from an option standpoint, I mean, we, the option hasn't been there to raise millions. So like we don't even focus on that just because we can't do that.
Sure.
So we're just focusing on, you know, what we can control, and that's creating a really good product. And that's, you know, creating something of value for our customers. And so that's really what we're focused on. I wish I could tell you we had a ton of options, but that's just what we're focusing on. But in saying that, in the previous business that I, you know, was a part of, you know, we raised millions of dollars. And I think there's a really interesting common misconception that most people have, is people think, all right, I'm going to raise $10 million. That's going to give me more options. It's actually the exact opposite. The more money that you raise, the less options that you have. So let's use like dramatic opposite end of the spectrums. A company that's raised $100 million, you know, for those investors that have put the $100 million into that business, they need to exit for like at least $1 billion for those investors to be happy. And there's very few companies that can pick up a company and buy a company for $1 billion. You limit your pool of buyers gets smaller. But let's say you've raised, you know, 500,000, and you've created a real business. There's a ton of people that could potentially buy that company. So I think there's the misconception that as you raise more money, the more options you have. I actually believe it's actually opposite. So that's at least my theory. I could be wrong about that, but that's.
Oh, no. You, sir, have reshaped. I think the listeners here are going to love that. I'm going to chop that up and put it all over the place. I think we need more people with that mindset that just think entrepreneurially driven. I don't know if it was a study I read or something that if you hit an exit that's over $30 million, think about it. Just the number of people that have the ability to acquire something over $30 million, your options tank, right? And it was that over under $30 million. And I'm thinking, one of my favorite companies that ever exited that I was reading about was WooForms. Do you know them?
Yeah, 100%.
I think they only raised like 118 grand, and they exited to SurveyMonkey for $35 million. And I go, cool. Son of a... Like, that is the exact case that I would want, right? Because if you raise a bunch of money, you've got to give your investors back, obviously, their money. Then they want their pro rata shares, and you're thinking, shit, like you read in the papers that, oh, I sold my company for $30 million, and you're like, yeah, but I got to give investors like 20, right? Like, yep. Sometimes the exit reads better in the paper, you know?
For sure. No, yeah. And I think, you know, there's, you know, that's a great example. Companies like MailChimp are a great example that haven't raised any money. Basecamp is
MailChimp has raised no money.
I think MailChimp has raised $0. They are
holy
all
shit.
They started in Atlanta and still growing strong. And there's a bunch of companies out there that have done some, you know, pretty cool stuff. I wouldn't be a person that would say, or the strategy that we're taking is not raising anything. I think we want to raise a little bit of money to help us move and get to the point like a little bit faster. So I'm not taking either actually end of the spectrum. But I also think it's important just to realize that when you raise money, what that comes with. And, you know, I think something else that I was also very focused on before that I've changed a little bit is this thing called like valuation, and being hyper focused around what is the valuation of the company going to be. I think that's important. But again, like I said, mm-hmm. the higher valuation that you have, the higher the expectations that you're going to have for your investors. And I think valuations can go up and can go down. I've seen up rounds, I've seen down rounds, I've seen kind of all sorts of things. But the thing that I've noticed that doesn't change is this thing called control. And so, you know, valuations can go up and down, but control kind of lasts forever. And so immediately, if you're selling to a VC early on, you know, you're automatically, there's two important things when you're raising money, economics and control. And so you're automatically giving up some control. And if you raise too early, sometimes that control can be a lot, where I've even seen some entrepreneurs even get fired from their investors. And so that's polar opposite end of the spectrum. But those are the things to be, you know, kind of focused on.
How much equity are you comfortable giving up in any one round?
Oh, God, it's so hard. It's so hard to say. Because I think I'm not really so focused on how much I'm giving up. I'm more of kind of focused on like what we're gaining. And so it's really how much money is it? Maybe even more importantly, who's the investor? Are they strategic? Are they bringing clients to the table? Are they bringing maybe users, depending on what the business you're doing? So it's very hard to say like, oh, you know, if I'm giving over 20%, I'm losing. It's or under 20%, I'm winning. So,
right.
I apologize. I don't have a perfect answer for you on that one.
Dude, I think that is a perfect answer, or at least it's a perfect lead-in, right? So I think that I always start with control, right? Because like you said, that's the one thing, that's that one variable. So for me, I go, oh, man, I'd given the most ideal scenario possible, given as much money as possible, I'm only as comfortable as like maybe 20-25% in one round, right? Like, like never more than that. Like in what I wouldn't take it. I'd take less my ultimate thing as an entrepreneur or a CEO is to remain CEO, right? Like in every round that succeeds that first one, that where I give up 20% or 15%, is like my share is going down, and as soon as I go under 50%, boom, you have the ability, if your board doesn't like something, to get fucking canned. That scares the living shit out of me. Have you ever been close to that scenario or been so contentious with other people involved with your company, like stakeholders, where it's like,
We've had board members before, but just to and am I allowed to disagree with you on your own podcast? Is that
absolutely
okay?
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. It's not so much of a different, you know, disagreement. It's more of a conversation. Is that I, you know, from my perspective, you know, we have raised money, we've lost control before, so that is 100% happening. I think to me, I was always very focused on being right the CEO. This was probably me 6 years ago. That was my mindset. And now I have, I think, just a better understanding in just my world, but doesn't make it the right world, is that for me, what I'm trying to do is make it, you know, the business be as successful as possible. So they're, you know, we're running this company Repurpose. There could come a day that, you know, we bring in someone that's much smarter than me. And I actually hope every hire is much smarter than me, as a side note, that is going to be the CEO of Repurpose. And so I actually purposely at ChalkFi, I was the CEO and, you know, co-founder of that company. I purposely actually have not named myself the CEO of this company yet. So I'll call myself what I actually am, is the founder of the company. And you know, I'm trying to maybe I'll give that self to my to myself, you know, that title to myself later. Maybe it's deserved for someone else. But my intention is making the business successful. And I hope in turn that will, you know, be good for me and everyone else involved.
Oh, my God. I think that's a great, I think if you're going to disagree with someone, that's the greatest way to disagree with someone.
It's not a disagreement. Like, it's just a.
Yeah, right. Like, I love that. So, like, I think that's good. Okay. Stepping back a little bit, I do want to ask about creating partnerships, like coming from the Midwest. Is it like it's one thing where you're surrounded by like an ecosystem, right? Like in LA or like obviously Silicon Valley or New York, Chicago, maybe even, where you have all these other startups that are, I mean, it's just so many. It's the law of large numbers. So if you're reaching out for partnerships or similar things like that, or talent that are leaving these other companies because they're growing and they don't want to be in that stage anymore, it creates an ecosystem. How is that ecosystem, or like, what are some of those challenges that you may see, like acquiring talent from like an entrepreneur's perspective in Detroit versus like kind of the coast, Detroit or the Midwest?
Yep. So good question. So let's talk about partnerships and then we'll move to kind of like talent acquisition in a second. So from a partnership perspective, what I've seen is that, you know, I can speak for Detroit and the Midwest and what we're doing here. It's a little bit harder for me to, you know, speak about the New York and San Francisco because I'm not there from a day-to-day perspective. So the comments I'll make is a little bit more of just a high-level view. But what I've seen from Detroit, let's just talk about that, where I'm sitting today, is when we want to do partnerships and we have, you know, a partnership with the state of Michigan and we have a few other partnerships, people genuinely want to help here and want to be a part of whatever you're doing because everyone here is doing different businesses. But I think here everyone has a common theme as we're trying to, you know, bring the, you know, Detroit, Michigan kind of back on the map again and kind of part of this like a reinvention period. And so I think from a partnership perspective, what I've seen is people are a little bit more willing to help and want you to be successful, opposed to maybe in New York where it's a little bit more fierce. And so that's what I've seen from a partnership perspective. But again, there's a lot of great things about New York than Detroit. And so I'm just giving you one angle from that perspective. The other thing that I would say from a talent acquisition standpoint, definitely know a little bit more about this because of the business that we're in right now, is you know, it's definitely hard to acquire talent. I would say so from our platform, there's two sides of it. There's a supply and demand side. So supply, let's just look at that as all the jobs that we have on our marketplace. We have a tremendous amount of jobs compared to the amount of candidates that have applied to those positions. And so the notion that there's not enough jobs or opportunity in Detroit is actually just a false one, because just firsthand I can tell you that we have a ton of supply, we have a ton of jobs, of high quality jobs, people that are paying in six figures, you know, really good ones. And so what we've seen is that, you know, about 80% of our talent has come from, yes, the Michigan region, but we have about 20 to 25% of our talent has come from, you know, New York or San Francisco, wanting to move back home, wanting to maybe be closer to family because they're in a different state of life, wanting not to pay $4,000 for rent, maybe potentially wanting a backyard. And so we've seen a lot of our talent actually come from these coastal cities trying to join one of our companies. And we've been a little bit successful at that. We still have a lot to do on that.
Oh, I think you're going to make great strides. Like, I think, and I don't know, is there a way for me to get on, like, my company to get on this platform?
100%. Yeah. If you go to, you know, repurpose.co, there's a link for employers and there's also a link, you know, for talent. So if you're interested in moving back to Detroit and you want to be a part of, you know, kind of one of the startups or your tech companies that we're working with, we'd love to help you. And if you're an employer that's looking for talent, A, here in Michigan, or be willing to, you know, work with people here in Michigan remotely, we'd love to help.
Okay, perfect. Is there anything else? Where can they find you? Is it just repurpose.co is what you're pushing right now?
Yes,
or
repurpose.co.
Can they find you?
Yes, repurpose.co. That's our website. And also, I'd say to your users, ryan@repurpose.co. That's my email address. If there's anything that we can help with to talk about, hey, you know, the kind of revitalization of Detroit, talk about, you know, job opportunities, talk about you're potentially looking for talent, we'd love to help. And at a very simplistic view, you know, we help match, you know, job seekers and awesome tech and startup companies. And so we'd love to help.
Boom. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Ryan.
Awesome. I appreciate you having us. And yeah, this was great.